Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, so we're getting a lot of details from authorities about the terror attacks and the suspects. And look, I think we're crazy if we think there's not some connection here. That's just my 30,000-foot take. What do I know? Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Happy New Year. Getting the year started off. Well, I mean, look, it's not what any of us wanted to be talking about the day after New Year's Eve, or day after New Year's Day, I should say. But here we are. And people are going to go to the Rose Bowl today, which is going to be great. I got a buddy of mine down there in New Orleans, he and his wife. They're going to the game. Nobody's going to be deterred, which is great. But there's a lot of questions. And the guy who blew himself up in the Tesla, the Cybertruck, outside the Trump Hotel in Vegas, who allegedly shot himself in the head, they cannot confirm the guy's identity. So that's what we know at this moment. Sugar Bowl, right. Yes, the Sugar Bowl. And I'm working on my camera. I'm just got a little firmware update issue going on, but I'll get there in a second. Don't worry. So basically, I watched all the press conferences today, and here's a couple things that just don't make sense. Both of these guys were military. Both of these guys had all kinds of personal issues going on in their lives. The one guy outside the Vegas hotel, they're saying it seems to be political, but what, the guy outside the Sugar Bowl was not political? That's what I don't really quite get. But here's a good tell. The local cops in Vegas, they've got real concerns with what the FBI is selling them. I can tell just by watching them. You know, everybody's got to tell. And the guy who was speaking a short time ago, I could tell that guy is not buying everything that the FBI is selling. Because he keeps coming out there and saying, like, we are not going to rule out that these two things are not connected. Like, we're not going to rule out anything. But if you listen to the FBI sounds a lot more sure that these two events are isolated and they're not connected. The locals aren't as sure about that. And I think that comes from a larger sense of the locals not trusting the feds, because I don't think any of us trust the feds at this point because of all the gaslighting and all the BS we've been told over the years. But here we are, and here's a couple things that do stand out right away. And I think it's pretty obvious that when a guy like Tom Holman, who Trump has said, okay, you're going to be the border czar, you're going to be my border czar, you're going to be my guy to make sure the border's secure. And he was just on Fox News a short time ago saying he believes these things are connected. And he said, it's just a gut instinct. He goes, it's just a gut instinct, but I think there's something bigger at play here. And I think these things are connected. And I'd be shocked if I'm wrong. Said, I could be wrong, but I don't know. He says, I think these things are connected. Now, look, a guy like Holman, if his gut instinct is telling him that, I think we should pay attention to that. And the fact that the border's wide open, and he said, you know, the border's still wide open. It's not like they turned around after this and they said, all right, lock down the border. Other question, too. How come in New Orleans they were able to get a truck through like that because those truck deterrent thingies were taken down? When you have a massive event with, by the way, as many people attending that event as would be attending the Super Bowl, because you combine New Year's and the Sugar Bowl. So they were saying, oh, we were taking it down for maintenance and getting everything ready for the Super Bowl. That doesn't make any sense either, because you know you're going to have a massive, massive presence of people in New Orleans for New Year's Eve alone. You combine that with the Notre Dame game and the Sugar Bowl, and you've got a Super Bowl-like incident on your hands. And so is anybody really surprised to find out then that something like this could occur? And then you turn around and you go, well, I don't understand. Explain to me why it is that you didn't have every single anti-terrorism, law enforcement, crowd control effort in place ahead of this event. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing it was like, oh, well, you know, Nola was going to be dead between now and the Super Bowl. So we figured now's a good time to brush off all the equipment and dust everything down. But that's, wait a second, you got this massive event. So here you have the FBI saying these things are not linked. The local officials are saying, I'm not so sure about that. And I think everybody with common sense turns around and says, is it really just that much of a coincidence that this guy blows himself up with a Tesla Cybertruck right outside the Trump Hotel, the same time this other guy commits terrorism in New Orleans? And they both have military backgrounds, and they both seem to be radicalized. And I should mention, we don't 100% know if the guy in the truck is the guy that they're saying is the person of interest, because they said they can't confirm his identity. Can't confirm his identity. In fact, let's begin there, shall we? So short time ago, they started with a press conference and they had a couple of different things. And this is what was said by Las Vegas officials. Now, the person of interest, his name is Matthew Livelsberger. And they say he shot himself. But again, they don't know for sure if this is him, because the body's so burned. Everything is burnt beyond recognition, which is also convenient. I know. I'm not saying that there's like some conspiracy behind this. I'm just saying at this point, it's only been 24 hours. I don't trust anything, and I don't rule anything out either, which I think at this day and age is the wise approach. When it comes to things like this, given everything we've gone through in our lives, given everything we've had to deal with, a healthy dose of skepticism is everything. And you could tell the locals have it. The feds, first of all, the FBI came out yesterday and said this wasn't terrorism. I've got a clip of that. This FBI official came out yesterday and said, oh, no, this wasn't terrorism. The New Orleans thing. Nah, it wasn't terrorism. It's like, what? So I think everybody has a healthy skepticism of anything coming out of this administration. Because remember, for the time being, this is still the Biden administration handling the response. This is the Biden administration handling the efforts here. And this is the Biden administration giving us the answers and everything. Kash Patel is not the FBI director yet. We all hope he will be, because he needs to be. But at the moment, he's not. So the people in Washington are giving the directions to everybody who's on the ground in New Orleans and Vegas. And they're essentially telling them what to say and what they can't say. And I think there's just nobody has a lot of faith in these people. Nobody has a lot of faith in Christopher Wray. The fact that this was even able to happen. Because we've been told for the last several years now that the biggest threat facing America, moms at school board meetings. I mean, right? Moms at school board meetings. The biggest threat facing America, not ISIS, not homegrown radical terrorists, moms at school board meetings. They were mobilized. They were ready to pounce on those moms in yoga pants at school board meetings, and not the way that you think. They were ready to go after the Catholics praying in Latin at Mass. And they were ready to say that anybody who shops at Cabela's and buys a red fishing hat is a domestic violent extremist. In other words, we've had our priorities so incredibly wrong this entire time, with a border wide open. And we're surprised when something like this occurs. But we've been told up until 5 minutes ago, repeatedly, for the last several years, the biggest threat, homegrown MAGA extremists, domestic violent extremists in red hats running around, terrorizing America, just waiting for to commit an insurrection. Let every day be January the 6th. And the FBI's priorities have been investigating grandmas who use the potty in the United States Capitol building. And so really, should any of us be surprised that something like this occurs? And the answer, of course, is a giant no. But here's from the press conference in Las Vegas just a few moments ago before I came on the air today. And by the way, it's great to be back with you. Hope you had a wonderful New Year, wonderful Christmas and Hanukkah. And like I said, none of us thought we'd be discussing this today, but I wanted to get back on the air today. Tomorrow, I'm actually off. And don't make any of your little jokes. It's just that I got invited to Senator-elect Dave McCormick swearing in Washington, which is a big deal. And obviously, when Dave and Dina invite you to something like that, and he's going to be our senator, you don't say no. So I'm heading down to Washington after the show to go down there for his swearing in, which is very, very cool. And I'm excited for that. It was a big honor to be invited. It really was. But then Monday, full bore, full week, straight ahead. I'm firing at all cylinders into 2025. And I'm excited overall. It's going to be a great year. I'm excited that we have about 20 days to go until Trump is president, and we can turn the page on this administration. Trump put out a scathing post, by the way, on Truth Social about Biden and this border being wide open. But since I've been teasing it and teasing it, here's the press conference from Vegas. Take a listen.
So as I'm calling it now, the subject or person of interest, I will not come back until I have the confirmation through DNA or medical records that this is indeed, in fact, the subject inside of the vehicle. Now, further complicating this identification of this individual, we also discovered through the coroner's office that the individual had sustained a gunshot wound to the head prior to the detonation of the vehicle. One of the handguns was found at his feet inside of the vehicle. Obviously, in how we're trying to identify him, and I'm feeling comfortable to give you this information, is a tremendous amount of substantial evidence to include he rented the Toro vehicle. There are two tattoos, one of which was on the stomach and one of which is on the arm, that we can see bits and pieces of it as in comparison to what it is that we now know he had on his body that has given us a lot of confidence that this is, in fact, the same person, as well as which the clearly obvious, which is the credit cards, the military identification, the passport. And then furthermore, as you'll see here in just a very short period of time, we tracked his movements from Colorado to Las Vegas. And in a number of the photographs that we were able to determine, he was the individual that was driving the vehicle.
All right. So that's what they think. And they think it's that guy. But there's a lot of suspicion around this, obviously. And they say the motive is unknown. Well, he blew up a Tesla outside a Trump hotel. I think we can kind of get a sense of what the motive is. But I'm telling you, I think there's more at play here versus just two lone wolves. And I really didn't know what to think until I heard Tom Holman say this on Fox News earlier today. And I think he's just a guy who has his gut is very high. You think about everything that's happening. So we had a presidential assassination attempt on Donald Trump back over the summer in Butler, PA. We don't know, and we've stopped talking about that completely. We have stopped talking about that. And that's something. You have Donald Trump's life was almost completely, I mean, he almost died within centimeters of life being taken from him by a would-be assassin. We don't know all the details yet. We don't know. I mean, it's really remarkable how that occurs. But that's the thing. We don't have a lot of this, the information. They just stopped talking about it. They say there's no definitive link between these two events. The inauguration is happening in 20 days. Could this have been a test run for something like that? Right to ask those questions. The other question, too, that I think is really important to ask, and I think a lot of people are wondering this, too, is could there be others associated with this who helped plan this? And, you know, yesterday they came out and they acted like without question, there definitely were other people involved here in the planning of this. And this is also why my Spidey BS sense gets triggered, because yesterday they came out and they told us definitively they can't rule out. They think there's other people involved. I heard the press conference yesterday. I watched it. Senator Kennedy, he was all rattled, rightly so. Right. Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, the governor's all fired up. Today, the FBI comes out and says, no, we don't think anybody else was involved. Just a lone nut in New Orleans, and we don't think the other events involved associated with that anyway. We think these things are separate. And okay, it's 24 hours. How can you definitively say that in 24 hours? Or is that what you want people to believe? You want everybody to know that, because when the agents were briefing everybody yesterday, they were going with their gut. Then the bureaucrats in Washington, who were all basically off yesterday, it was a holiday. They come back to work, and then they all turn around. They go, all right, now you got to go out there and tell everybody that the two incidents are not related, and that we believe this guy acted alone. Both men acted alone, but two totally separate incidents, not at all connected. And that's that. Because to have such a change in 24 hours, where you go from saying that we believe there's more people involved in this plot to we believe this guy acted Both men acted alone and separate, and just a gigantic coinkydink. You know what I mean? I also have a big problem with that as well. Now, I actually sent you a clip, Matt, of the guy on X, his wife, trashing Trump. I don't know if you have that audio or not. Pretty sure I said that to you earlier today. Matthew Livelsberger, who's been identified as the person responsible for detonating the Cybertruck, his wife was a big vocal Trump critic. The other guy, the New Orleans guy, apparently a bunch of videos linking him to saying that he supported ISIS. They're not saying that ISIS was necessarily with the guy, but that he was with ISIS. Those videos, they say, were released right before the attack in New Orleans. But here's the guy, the person of interest in Vegas. This is his girlfriend trashing Trump, we think. Again, it's hard to confirm any of this stuff, but this looks pretty credible. Take a listen.
Posted up, midnight, red-eye flight. Sarah Beans. No Maddie B.
Trying not to be weird.
Not to be weird.
Not allowed to be weird and embarrass him. I can't do that.
We're judging people in front of the walking thing. You can choose to walk. You can choose to stand still. You can choose to
pick walk. Aside, people. Pick aside.
You can walk aside it if you want some exercise and just be devoid of technology if you choose.
And there are a bunch of videos of her trashing Trump. Obviously, that's not one of them. But there are a bunch of them out there that apparently are very anti-Trump. So all this stuff is coming in. And I think as all this stuff comes in and questions begin to mount, it's just interesting how they start ruling stuff out so quickly. That to me is still always the tell that there's something they're not telling us or they're not being honest with. One thing that I think is clear is that we got to get Trump's nominees in there as soon as possible. We have to get Trump's people in there, and we need to secure the border ASAP. We need to secure the border immediately. We got to do that. And we can't mess around because there's too much at stake here. And we've got the Sugar Bowl today. That's going to go off fine without a hitch because that's how this works. Then we're going to have the inauguration. We'll have the Super Bowl. My sense is everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be fine because that's what happens. Unless there's a bigger plot here at play. And I don't know if we can rule that out. This one suspect here, the guy Shamsud Din Jabbar, intended to kill his family, but was concerned that media attention wouldn't be focused on the war between believers and disbelievers. This is from the press conference today with the FBI, talking about the motive of this guy. Cut number one.
The FBI team and our law enforcement partners here are also reviewing hundreds of hours of surveillance and other video from both the French Quarter and other locations. As for a timeline, at this point, investigators believe Jabbar picked up the rented F-150 in Houston, Texas on December 30th. He then drove from Houston to New Orleans on the evening of the 31st, and he posted several videos to an online platform proclaiming his support for ISIS. There were five videos posted on Jabbar's Facebook account, which are time-stamped beginning at 1:29 a.m. and the last at 3:02 a.m. In the first video, Jabbar explains he originally planned to harm his family and friends, but was concerned the news headlines would not focus on the, quote, war between the believers and the disbelievers, end quote. Additionally, he stated he had joined ISIS before this summer. He also provided a will and testament.
All right, so that's some of what the FBI was saying today. But a couple of things that the FBI, the big part for me that I still have questions on is when they can come out and say he acted alone. How they could know that right away, that's something. How they could say that this was not connected to the other guy, how they could say that. I like what the local cops in Vegas said when they were like, well, we're not ruling that out, that these guys were connected. We're not ruling that out. We're not ruling anything out at this point. I think that that's what we should all be thinking at this point. Nothing gets ruled out. All right, the number today. 855-839-1210. Of course, you can tweet the show at Rich Zeoli. We'll have a lot of comments, a lot of thoughts. There's breaking news all over the place, and we'll make sure that we bring it to you as these things come about. If there's any news conferences or press conferences, we'll jump in live for you so you won't miss a thing. And of course, we'll make sure that if anything is said by President-elect Donald Trump today, you'll hear that as well. I'll tell you when we get back what he posted to Truth Social, a scathing takedown of Biden and the wide open border. Good for him for doing so. It's 2025, baby. Let's get this year started off right. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, baby, we're back. And 2025 is back. We're starting. I would say starting with a... I mean, I always say these things start with a bang, but it's not trying to be a tasteless joke. It's just we were going to get off to a bang this year with the inauguration, with the new administration, getting things done. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great, great year. This is a terrible way to start the year, but it's also not an excuse for more government surveillance and another Patriot Act and more lockdowns and all the other stuff. I'll get into that as well throughout the show. We are going to talk about other things besides just the two terror attacks. We're going to talk about spending. We're going to talk about Trump's nominees. We're going to talk about some new laws coming in New Jersey. And we're also going to talk about parents defending education and a lot of wasted money in the federal government and a lot of abuse of civil liberties. Remember what I said? So the FBI spent all this time saying that moms at school board meetings were the true domestic violent extremists. That's what the FBI has been telling us for years. We have been told over and over and over again that the real people that we got to worry about, not ISIS, not extremists, it's guys shopping at Cabela's. It's moms who don't like the fact that their kids have to wear masks. And it's grandmas using the potty on the Capitol, at the Capitol on January the 6th. We have been told all these things. And so there's a gigantic dose of skepticism with everything that the feds are saying. Just a gigantic dose of skepticism. The FBI currently believes that the NOLA suspect acted alone. But yesterday, there was a different tune that they were singing. Yesterday, they were very much of the mindset that this is that there's more people. And one after another yesterday came out and said, we need your help in identifying other people who may have been involved in this. The spin today on that was that what they meant was there were these coolers, that there was a cooler that had the IEDs in it, and other people were looking in the cooler, and that's why they thought that there might have been other people involved. That's the spin that they came up with. So yesterday, they go, we think, and we need your help, we think there's more people involved in this, more than just this one guy with an ISIS flag on his truck. Today, definitively rule that out. Maybe it should be ruled out. But after a day, right? You know what I'm saying? Like a day later, you definitively rule out the fact that this guy acted alone. You rule out the fact that this guy might have had help. One day. It's kind of like when you rule out the COVID lab leak theory right away. You're like, well, we don't know where it came from. We know it didn't come from a lab. How do you know that? It's the same thing. It's like the drones, right? It's like, well, we don't know what they are, but we definitely know they're not military and they're not foreign. Well, how do you know that if you don't know what they are? But this is what happens too often, especially on the federal side of law enforcement. They come out and they tell us right away and they make determinations almost like that. So to report info on the NOLA attack, the FBI is saying call the FBI. But why call if they think the guy acted alone? What do they have to report? What are you going to provide them that they can't find on their own? Unless that they do think there's other people involved, but they don't want to say anything. Because, again, the bureaucrats were not working yesterday. The bureaucrats got into work and they're like, listen, shut that talk down. Here's a clip of them talking about how the bomb maker in Vegas blew himself up because the guy was not very good at explosives. And this guy, who they think is the person of interest and they think shot himself in the head, they don't officially know that. Actually, we have our guests, though. So let's switch gears. Let's talk about some spending. We're going to weave in a lot of different things over the course of the next 3.5 hours. All right, because we got a big show for you today and there's breaking news all over, obviously. But it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Dr. John Eastman. Dr. Eastman, it's great to have you. Happy New Year. Senior fellow of the Claremont Institute, author of the Spending Clause Entries in the Oxford Encyclopedia of Legal History and the Heritage Guide to the Constitution. Happy New Year. How you doing?
Well, Happy New Year to you, too. I'm looking forward to a future unburdened by the recent past.
Yes. We're all very happy to be unburdened, no doubt about that. We want to unburden ourselves from what's come before us and look forward to what will be. You have a piece over at The Federalist that you wrote recently about DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, which is my personal new favorite department. And you say DOGE should begin by proposing to eliminate funding that furthers only local rather than truly national interests. So let's talk about that, shall we?
Yep. So look, I mean, Nancy Pelosi famously said, you know, when somebody challenged the spending package, she said, well, we can spend whatever we want. And she was incredulous that that wasn't the case. Well, the Constitution's language is very clear. It allows Congress to raise taxes only for two purposes, to pay the debts of the United States and to provide for the common defense and the general welfare. That meant things in the national interest, not purely local interests. And for most of our nation's history, that rule held by the Supreme Court, by presidents, by members of Congress, and what have you. And since the New Deal, we've been spending it as if the Constitution didn't impose any limits on it. So my recommendation to Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy and the DOGE folks is instead of begging permission from Congress to cut spending, that they should just identify which spending is unconstitutional and not make those spending programs go forward as part of the president's duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, including the law of the Constitution.
And right away, somebody's going to scream and say, whoa, wait a second. Congress appropriated that money for that purpose. How can the executive just do that?
Well, the executive is bound by the Constitution, just like Congress is. And if they appropriate funds that are unconstitutional, the executive actually has a duty not to violate the Constitution. And the Constitution's the higher law than a statute. The appropriation is a mere statute, and it cannot trump or usurp the constitutional authority that Congress has.
All right. Congress has been spending all this money that we don't have. We, as the American people, don't have. The country's so far in debt right now. Where do things stand right now, actually, in debt? How much more debt will be accrued by the time this phone conversation ends between the two of us?
I don't know how quickly that time clock is running, but last I looked, we were $36 trillion in debt. That's about $100,000 for every single man, woman, child, and baby in the country.
It's a lot of money.
I just had a new grandson. He's $100,000 in debt already.
Well, congratulations, and my sympathies to him for that. But, yeah, look, I mean, I got three kids. I get it. I do. And we keep kicking can down the road. And the biggest cost we have is paying the interest on that debt, right?
Yes, indeed. And it's exceeding our defense budget. It's exceeding our entitlement spending. Entitlement itself is a bad word, but it's exceeding everything. And, you know, we cannot continue on this path without becoming Weimar Republic type Germany or Venezuela. I mean, it is that critical now. And I think this may be the last opportunity to get a handle on it before the whole thing comes crashing down.
One of those will undoubtedly be the Congressional Budget and Impoundment Control Act of 1974. So let's talk about that act, because I think this is fascinating. President Nixon also tried to drain the swamp, but of course, back then, he faced a lot of headwinds as well.
Well, he did. And after, he was politically weakened, the Congress passed the Budget and Impoundment Control Act. And it basically said, if the president wants to impound funds, not spend funds that Congress has appropriated, he's got to come back and ask permission from Congress first. And if we don't give him that permission within 45 days, then the monies have to be spent. That, you know, that's like asking the fox, you're eating chickens. Can I have you permission to quit eating chickens? Of course they're not going to. They've already appropriated the money. They've already said we want this money spent. He's going to go back and ask for them to permission not to spend it. I mean, it's insane. And this is why my article is there. He still, for things that are constitutional spending plans, that statute will control. And he'll have to ask their permission. But my argument is for things that are unconstitutional, he actually has a separate duty not to make those expenditures of funds, even if Congress has appropriated them. They can't appropriate things in violation of the Constitution. And he doesn't need to ask their permission to uphold the Constitution.
And Dr. John Eastman, how would people know, and like how would Elon and Vivek, for example, know what spending is unconstitutional? What guidance do we have from court cases? What guidance do we have from the founding of the Republic to guide us?
The main guy, you look back at history, and my articles in the Oxford Journal of Encyclopedia of Legal History, my articles on the spending clause, all lay out that history. Presidents routinely vetoing local improvement bills because it exceeded Congress's authority under the Constitution. The Supreme Court, in a case called Butler versus United States in 1936, said that Congress can't spend money for purposes that are not authorized in the Constitution. We've lost the sense of that history. And so all anybody needs to do is read up on the history and the original meaning of the Constitution in order to faithfully apply it.
That's good. And there'll be court cases, obviously. There'll be challenges where these guys go in there and cut departments and cut spending, and the president does the same. Actually, he'll be the one to actually do it. There'll be lawsuits, no question about it. So it's good that there's precedent on the books. And two particular cases you write about in your article at The Federalist, United States v. Butler and South Dakota v. Dole. And that really, I think, would be at play here when these cases go before the Supreme Court. This Supreme Court, which I think would love the history of the spending and the general welfare clause, which you write about, Dr. John Eastman, to say, yeah, you know what? The president is absolutely right here to make these cuts. This spending by Congress is completely unconstitutional.
The Medicare expansion mandate that was part of Obamacare, the court already recognized there are limits in the Constitution on federal spending. We made the broader argument that I'm now making, and the court didn't deem it necessary to reach that broader argument, but it's an argument that's already been presented to them relatively recently, so they're certainly aware of it, and it's a very originalist court, and I think the evidence of what the original spending clause meant is so clear for anybody that looks at it, I think we have a very good chance of winning in the Supreme Court on this issue.
Good. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Well, listen, thanks for doing the hard work on this. Thanks for analyzing all this for us. We'll post a link to your article in the Federalist, but I think it's...
I lose you?
I'm still here. You got us?
Yes, I got you.
Okay, good. I was just saying thank you for your hard work on this, Dr. John Eastman. We'll post a link to it. How Doge can tackle the national debt by returning to constitutional spending. It really does outline the powers the president does have to address this issue without having to deal with Congress's unconstitutional spending by fighting it head on. Thanks, Dr. John Eastman. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, I know Biden just spoke a few moments ago on the two terror attacks out in Vegas and also in New Orleans. I don't know if he said anything worthy of playing for you, or I just saw him coughing a lot at the podium. I don't even know if he knows what friggin' day it is. But if he did say anything important, we'll get it for you, no doubt about that. He's still talking? All right. I think they just cut out of it. But can we go back to the beginning of it, Matt? Are we able to do that?
2 seconds. I'll cue it up.
All right. Well, cue up what Biden had to say. I'm curious, really, more than anything, if he's got anything worthy to. I mean, this guy, if you want to attack the United States of America, This is your moment with this guy as president. I mean, it's a disaster. Let me read you what President Trump said on Truth Social today so you get a real understanding of what he's saying about this. January 20th cannot come soon enough. He said the following. With the Biden open borders policy, I said many times during rallies and elsewhere that radical Islamic terrorism and other forms of violent crime will become so bad in America, it will become hard to even imagine or believe. That time has come, only worse than ever imagined. Joe Biden is the worst president in the history of America, all caps, a complete and total disaster. What he and his group of election interfering thugs have done to our country will not soon be forgotten. MAGA. All right. So Biden apparently is telling his team to accelerate the NOLA probe. Do we have Biden now, Matt?
Give me like one more minute.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, play a little bit of what the president just said regarding this. We'll give you some more updates on this. A lot of breaking news. Great to have you with us. I do want to let you know about Emmons Roofing and Siding as we kick off a new year. How is your home doing? If you need any work done on your home, trust my go-to company, and that's Emmons. Emmons Roofing and Siding. They are a local company dedicated to doing a great job for you and our entire region of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And what I love about Emmons is the work is first rate. Matt and Stephanie are great friends of mine personally, and they've done great work in two different homes, the old home and the new home as well. And I know what you're thinking to yourself, too. You're thinking, isn't there some way to know for sure how credible work is in this day and age? We'll just take it from a guy who's had his roof done, windows, siding, and doors all by Emmons. There's a reason why I keep going back to them. There's a reason why I keep using them. And that's because they do a great job. And they'll do a great job for you as well. Just go to emmonsroofing.com. Your roof will have a lifetime warranty on it with the Owens Corning Shingle, the absolute best in the business. That's right. And your home will be more energy efficient, will look better from the curb. They'll never tell you you need a new roof if you don't. But if you do, you will have the best roof out there. The Emmons Owens Corning Shingle lifetime warranted roof. And we've got snow coming on the way. So with severe weather, make sure your home can withstand the elements. And I know what else you're thinking. Talk to me about savings. 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I tell you what I love is everybody gets back to it on New Orleans. In New Orleans on Bourbon Street, they're showing it right now on TV. Everybody's just back at it. I like that. Americans, we show our resolve. Go to the Sugar Bowl, have a great time. Go Irish. All right, so the question, of course, is, did this guy act alone or not? Are these two plots connected, and what are the motivations? Now, here's what we know about the one guy, the guy in New Orleans, right? So New Orleans terror attack suspect Shamsud Dinjabar intended to kill his family, but was concerned the media attention wouldn't be focused on the war between believers and disbelievers. So it was a clip I was going to play before our guest came. But basically, we know that he posted five videos on his Facebook account proclaiming his support for ISIS, serving the army for 10 years and was deployed to Afghanistan in 2009. Now they say he acted alone. How is it that this guy was not on their radar when he was out there posting all these videos? Muslim American military veteran posts five videos proclaiming his support for ISIS, and that did not set off any alarm bells at the Biden Pentagon, DNI, and or the DOJ and the FBI. It was Mike Davis who said that, who was a former chief counsel for nominations for President Trump. He said the Senate must confirm President Trump's national security team quickly. No question about it. They should. They must. They have to. Yesterday, the FBI came out and said they did not believe that the terrorist acted alone. Today, Biden came out and said they do think he acted alone. How were they able to determine that in 24 hours to go from he did not act alone, to he acted alone? So let me actually begin with what was said yesterday by the FBI when they came out and did their press conference. And they asked people for help, and they asked people to say, hey, listen, keep your eyes open. All right, so this is from yesterday, Wednesday afternoon, the FBI press conference. Let's start with cut number six.
We are working with our partners to investigate this as an act of terrorism. We're aggressively running down all of the leads to identify the possible subject's associates. We're working to ensure that there is no further threat. We do not believe that Jabbar was solely responsible. We are aggressively running down every lead, including those of his known associates. That's why we need the public's help. We are asking if anybody has any interactions with Shamsud Dinjabar in the last 72 hours that you contact us. The FBI is asking the public's help. We're asking anyone who has information, video, or pictures to provide it to the FBI. We have set up a digital tip line as well as our 1-800 number, 1-800-CALL-FBI. Please provide us with any information that
you can. All right, so thank you. So there you go. Thank you. He didn't act alone. We don't believe he acted alone. That was yesterday. By today, they think he acted alone. But he's dead. So how do you know that? It's not like you grilled the guy all night. Yeah, you had the guy under the hot lights and you were sweating him out and you beat him with a phone book like they used to do in the old days because it leaves no prints. How do you know that? He's dead. So how do you know he acted alone? Remember, there's 15 people total who were killed in New Orleans. He's one of the 15. 14 innocent victims, and then this terrorist lunatic. They go from yesterday saying we don't think he acted alone to today saying we think he acted alone. The excuse the FBI gave, you can believe this, is that they saw people looking in the cooler where the ID was, and that's why they thought that other people might have been involved. Yeah, I'm not buying that. No, I think Washington, the bureaucracy is doing its thing here. Because even yesterday, the original response from the FBI special agent in charge, this woman's name is Althea Duncan. She had a nose ring. Not there's anything wrong with that. Just pointing this out. Has a nose ring. She said yesterday that this was not a terrorist attack. This is yesterday, all the way back in the way back machine of 24 freaking hours ago. All right. Cut number five.
Kirkpatrick said, we'll be taking over the investigative lead for this event. This is not a terrorist event. What it is right now is there improvised explosive devices that was found. And we are working on confirming if it's a viable device or not. As Chief Kirkpatrick said, we're asking everyone to stay away from Bourbon Street, specifically from Canal Street to St. Anne. That is my ask. Once again, stay away from Bourbon Street, Canal Street, all the way to St. Anne until we can figure out what is going on. Our goal is to provide you additional information at the 11 a.m. press conference.
Now, it would have been deemed a terrorist attack right away if the guy had just simply gone to a school board meeting and spoke out. Then they would have said right away it was a terrorist attack, and they wouldn't have kept everybody waiting. So that's where things stand right now. But I'm telling you, when a guy like Tom Holman, and I'll grab this audio for you for the 4 o'clock hour, when a guy like Tom Holman comes out and he says that he thinks that this is absolutely, there's more to the story than meets the eye, I think we should pay attention to that. But here's Biden from earlier today speaking at the White House. Take a listen.
Minutes to talk a little bit about that and then go on to the, what we're here for. I want to give an update on the investigations into yesterday's terrorist attacks in New Orleans and the truck explosion in Las Vegas. I've just come from the meeting, not just to spend, well, we prepared these remarks, better part of an hour, from my homeland security team. The number of people killed in New Orleans has risen to 15, including the attacker. 35 people were injured. Today, the FBI briefed me that, as of now, no information. We have no information that anyone else is involved in the attack. They've established that the attacker is the same person who planted the explosives in those ice coolers in two nearby locations in the French Quarter just a few hours before he rammed into the crowd with his vehicle. They assess he had a remote detonator in his vehicle to set off those two ice chests. So there's no question that, remember all the talk about other people were involved, placed him, they have him, they have established he's there, and even established that he had a detonator to explode those ice chests. As I said yesterday, the attacker posted several videos just several hours before the attack, indicating his strong support for ISIS. Federal law enforcement and the intelligence community are actively investigating any foreign or domestic contacts and connection that could possibly be relevant to the attack. And so we're also continuing to investigate whether or not there's any connection between the New Orleans attack and the explosion in Las Vegas. As of now, they've just been briefed, they have not found any evidence of such a connection thus far. I've directed them to keep looking. The individual who rented the truck to explode that exploded in Las Vegas also served as active duty U.S. Army. And the FBI is working with the Department of Defense on investigating, including the service members' possible motives and all those he worked with, in who served with him, with things he'd say and do. I directed my team to accelerate these investigations so we have answers to our unanswered questions. They're making every single resource available to get the job done. And we're going to share the facts as soon as I learn them so the American public doesn't have to wonder. In the meantime, like I said last night, New Orleans is a city of tremendous spirit. You can't keep it down. You really can't. And we're seeing that today. The Sugar Bowl is back on. Kickoff is going to take off very shortly. If I don't get this damn thing done, we're going to be in real trouble.
Why, you're not kicking the ball.
The FBI has handed control to Bourbon Street back to local officials. Security of the area has been reinforced. And it should be open for business later today, the Bourbon Street. People in New Orleans are sending an unmistakable message. They will not let this attack or the attackers' deluded ideology overcome us.
All right, thank you. That's enough. Thank you. It's all I can take, honestly, listening to him. But look, the border, no doubt about it, that's a wide open situation. But here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about them using this incident to try to get more power. It's what they do. It's what they do all the time. And to prove that point to you, the next hour, I'm going to play a local official who said, we need UK-style surveillance to ensure this doesn't happen. Let's not fall into the reflexive trap of turning around and saying, because the government had incompetence on people that they probably should have clearly had in their radar, that means the rest of us all need to be profiled more, and the rest of us need to give up more liberty, and the rest of us all need to be spied on. They've been spying on us enough. And with all the spying, they still can't stop things like this from happening. Maybe it's because they have their priorities wrong. Maybe they're looking at the wrong kinds of people. I'm just throwing this out there. And moms at school board meetings, Catholics praying at Mass in Latin, and on, guys in fishing hats. But also, too, let's not forget something else, which is people praying outside of abortion clinics. This has been what the FBI has been primarily concerned about, and DEI and everything else all these years. And here's a question, too. The guy in Vegas, his body burned beyond recognition, but his military ID, not so much. All right, so the body burned beyond recognition, guns all burned beyond recognition, his military ID, they're able to identify his face, and they're able to identify his name. So we'll talk about that as well as the show goes on today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Your thoughts on all this? What do you think? What do you make of this? What does your spidey sense tell you? All thoughts are on the table and welcome. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.